I want to go through it, and I just want to give a hakdama before we start. But I think that there's an interesting lemon in the story. So I was sitting in Tel Zeshiva, summertime, I don't know how many years ago, let's say early 90s, okay? And all of a sudden, Rishon LeZion started. Okay, so.
I told about the wedding.
Right, so they have a camp there called Camp Kol Torah, and apparently it was during the Color War time. So Color War, there's two teams, and usually what they do is they take two like opposing type of thoughts, and they make that the names of the teams. So they're usually like some Jewish type of a thing. Now most of the things are sports; it has nothing to do with the title. But eventually they try to make banners and signs, different things based on the title. So I'm sitting in my office, minding my own business. All of a sudden, like three 14, 15 year old boys come running in. They're looking for Rabbi Reingold. Who's Rabbi Reingold? So somebody points out that's Rabbi Reingold. They were sent by the captains of their team to get some, you know, Memori Chazal about X. Okay, whatever X, I don't remember what X was. Okay, let's say, you know, let's say the two teams were Tina Sieber and Arnik Shabbos. Okay, right? So they needed three Chazals about how important it is to have Arnik Shabbos. Okay. So I show them three Chazals or whatever they wanted, three or four Chazals about that. So they write it down. They're very happy and they leave. Good. Half an hour later, three boys come running to the base of Medrash. Where's Rabbi Reingold? Who's Rabbi Reingold? It's from the other team. Right? And they need three Chazals about, you know, why it's important to, you know. So everybody walks away happy, and I'm sitting there like, it's interesting. So it's two opposite meters, and I have three Chazals about how important this is. Three Chazals about how important this is. So make up your mind. Which one is important? You know, and they're steering with each other. So, it hit me. The Chazal present many important ideas, and they present them very forcefully. And they're contradictory. So that means like this. If somebody tells you that he holds X is true and says, I have a Chazal to prove it, means nothing. That's what it means. Because you can prove whatever you want from a Chazal. Right? So, for example, the following story. Rav Aaron told me the following story. So there was a guy in the yeshiva in the mirror who, this fellow, his trademark was like deliberation. Like, you know, he deliberated and he deliberated and deliberated and he thought about it and he considered it and he questioned and he deliberated, you know. Never makes a quick decision. So one day he goes, and every, like, you know, the guy needs to speed up a little bit, a little more reasons, you know. So one day he walks into Rav Chaim Shalevitz's, Zatzal's, you know, shir, the shmuz, and the shmuz was on the topic of beating a parshas Vayechi, of Reuben was pachas kamayim. He went too quickly, so it's important to take your time and to deliberate and to think about it, etc. The guy comes back and says, you see, Reb Chaim said, I'm right, you know, you gotta deliberate, you know. So Reb Chaim said, I'm right, so good, it's good. So what did he do? You know, he took his own meter the way he wants to be, and he found a Chazal to blame it on. You know, that's not called the Avodas Hashem, that's called blaming it on a Chazal, right? So what's the kunz? The kunz is that you have to understand that there are many Chazals in many different directions. What do you do? So, there's a piece from Rav Dessler in Mitzvah Leol Chelek Aleph, which interesting. I also found a letter from Rav Shach. He says, if you're truly seeking out the emes, the Bereshit will give you siyata d'shmaya to find the emes. If you take out your negi, say, Bereshit, I want to serve you. I want to serve you properly, and give me the direction that I need. So when am I supposed to apply this? Am I supposed to apply that? Right. What should they say over from one of the Gedolei Chassidus? I'm not remembering which one right now. You know, a lot of times we have to change the blending with the stories. But anyway, that every person has to have two pieces of paper in his pockets. One piece of paper says on one side, it says, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. What am I? I'm a nothing. One piece of paper says, Bishuli Nivra Olam, the whole world was created for me. He says, the challenge of life is to know which, take out the right paper at the right time. Right? So I go over to the guy, I say, listen, you know, there's a project, a very important project in the community, you know, we need you get involved. I say, who am I? I'm looking for me. I'm not looking. He says, somebody steps in your toes and says, me? Be sure that I'm the most special guy in the world. You take it, right? That's not the right way to do it. Right? It's, you know, there's a community event. So you know, I'm a kosher person. I have to get involved and help. Somebody says my toes. Who am I? I'm nothing. You have to know how to take out the right paper at the right time. Okay. With that October, let's see what we're going to learn over here. So there's a beautiful piece of the Ben Bachai. So the Ben Bachia, whoever you call it, whatever name you call him, they're all wrong. Bechaye, some people say Bach, Bechai, you know, whatever. I don't care whatever his name is. Okay, so he talks about the meter called the meter of Histapkus, and I want to present a few points about it. The first people who this piece will do after the Ben Bechai is a piece from the Alta Shir Das from the Alta Tells of Rav, and then we'll see some other things also. Okay, but not only so Yaakovino davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he says if the Bershim will take care of him. But not only lechem lechol begalubash. He says he would like bread to eat and a garment to wear. Zo shelos hatzadikim, meis Hashem. This is what tzadikim ask from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, yishlo amoisrus. They don't ask for any extras. Rak davrech rechi bavad. Only what's totally necessary, and that's it. Sheyavshelo adam shiyechi biladav. Person cannot live without it. Okay, that's all he wants. Now, a person who's seeking luxuries, anything beyond what's necessary, causes a tremendous amount of confusion and overwhelming issue in his life. If a person has Yir Shemayim, the real goal is be happy with a minimal amount and be happy with your lot. Do not desire anything beyond that. Instead, focusing on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Who Shem Hashem Toimat be Yiras Hashem and Mi'otzer Rav Muhum Avay. Says Mamash Apostle, it says having a little and focusing on Yiras Hashem is much better than having a tremendous Oitzer but Muhuma with confusion. Okay. This is Pasuk of Mishlei. And the next Pasuk of Mishlei says the following. I'll give you an example of it that we all understand. Okay. So we all agree having a meal, which all we have is some vegetables, but we love each other. We feel very happy to be together. And it's a situation of love. We all appreciate that much more than having this fat on the shore, but having with hatred there. Okay? Yarmer, ki yetiv livnei adam hama'at mechevra shetinoim lehem. People will enjoy having a little bit amongst people that they feel very pleasant with. Yatsim in a maruba, a hamatamim, having a large amount and good delicacies, mechevra shetinoim amongst those who hate you. Okay? So that idea, we're going to take that and apply it backwards. And you know, the Moshal Amida says, stop this. So we see there are times that we do prefer having much less. Right? So, Zok Tzom HaMelech, Memenu Yesh Lomad Kal V'Chomer, Sheyesh L'Odom L'Hispayas L'Stapik B'mat B'Avas Hashem Yisborach B'Yirosso Yersim Yitosef As Amom and Min HaGezel V'Chomas. So, it would be much better to focus on just having a minimal amount, being able to focus on your Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, than focus on getting more, which ends up, you know, leading to improper actions, etc. Okay, Shlomo Melech, Olam Shlomo Yispalo Al Hamidah Yistap, as he davened to Hashem, Shlomo Melech davened to Hashem to have the Midah of Yistapik, it's sufficient, it's enough, I don't want more. Hu Shomer Hachifeni Lechem Chuki, so Shlomo Melech davened in Mishlei, the Bershom, please give me lashon terev parnasa lechem chuki, the amount that I need, the bread that I need, the chayk that I'm, the amount of bread that I need, beer. Now he's going to bring the whole pasuk. It's interesting he didn't bring the whole pasuk to start with. He says like this: the pshat in what's happening over this is, it says, rosh v'oisher al titan li hachivena lechem chuki. Ki haresh rosh means poverty, voisher means wealth. Midas magunas mevios eser lavra mitzvah zatar. Both of them bring a person to not act properly. Ki marosh yisarch adam, a person is haresh, a person who's impoverished. I have to flatter people. Kin Shenemar Tachnunim Yedaber Rosh. The Rosh comes and he speaks, with the language of he lowers himself and he requests, and this person he's not as great as you, but you know what, money you need, so you do what we got to do, right? But that's not good. It's not healthy because he's not recognizing the cheshivas of who he is, and he's flattering people which he shouldn't be flattering. The guy thinks, one of my nieces one time told me a fascinating thing. He says, I've never had the experience, I can't tell you what it's like, but she was once bumped up to first class. To get to first class, everybody has to walk through to get a comic class, you have to walk through first class. So part of the not first class is to sit, be able to sit there and look down at everybody else as they walk through. Now, she didn't even pay for the seat, she says, and she was looking down at the people. Right? So, Calvin Kramer, you pay for the seats, A person who has balgai is considered a toei. He's considered an abomination. So, but there's Omar Reish of Osher Al Titan Lim. Shlomo Melech says, don't give me wealth, don't give me poverty, just give me enough. We're not for the fact that we have a Zetzahara, which is generating and pushing us, which is constantly desiring and focusing on the idea of wealth, covet, etc. Nobody would feel bad they don't have any luxuries. Right, we put the whole multi-billion-dollar, multi-trillion-dollar business. Somebody told me a fascinating thing. There's an article, an H.com article from Rabbi Benjamin Blach. So he points out, it says that the purpose of advertising is to make you hungry. All advertising is to make you not happy with what you have. Mm-hmm. Could be happy with what you have, you wouldn't buy more. Mm-hmm. Right? So the purpose of all advertising is to make you not happy. So why would you want to look at things to make you not happy? But that's the Yetzirah. Right? The Yetzirah comes along and sells you. So you're not happy when you have, the last year's item. Right? Kima, a person, but we're not for that Yetzirah. Kima shum mukhuk kakash bracha yasmineyu the yadda yam yam. We can be pretty confident the Russian will give us my basic needs. So I wouldn't have any problems. Pasha will live a very life, easy life. He brings the Pasha by Pasha Zamon, etc. Then he continues, the piece continues, it says, we can be confident Russian will take our needs. So look at that. Skip down the Quran royal the ayin the beseder oilam and gosa shehi bechachma muka when he flows. Look at the world. Look how smart it is. Shekadosh Baruch Hu mazal the biyosef umam tzalem adavra hechreich. The Baruch Hu makes available that which is necessary. Umashu murchach yosef who matzay yosef. The more whatever is more necessary is more available. Air is more available than water. Water is more available than food. Food is more available than gold. Right? So the Baruch Hu said that the world. See, he's clearly saying I'm ready. I'm here to make sure you have what you need. That's where basically he ends off the idea. Going through these different levels of what's necessary, what's not necessary. So therefore, on the next page, all the way towards the end, Balkane, about 8 lines down. Yish shol Yaakov at Tzadik. So Yaakov Avinu says, Lechem lechol begel dilbush, shua dabra, I need minimum, I need to have the clothing, I can't walk around without clothing. I need bread, I need basics. He says, I don't want any more than that. We find the Torah says, even my melech, he has to put limits on himself. Also says this idea that Yaakov Avinu's bakasha was connected to the idea of midas hayistapkus, the midah of recognizing they have it. Okay, so the Ben Bachya is coming out very strong that strong Moshe Shmuz over here that we need to really limit ourselves in a very significant way. Okay, so before I proceed, I want to invite you to see some other places to talk about it. There's a Shir Das over here from Yosef Bloch, which is one of Rabbi Anivar Zatzal actually spoke about this Shir Das by Shabbos Shuah Joshua. I think I was counting one time, I think it was like 4 or 5 years in a row. Okay, so you might remember some of it, if you remember the old Shabbos Shuah Joshua. So the name of the Shmuel is Pales Magal Raglecha. So the word Pales means to measure, to weigh, and to weigh. The name of a scale, one of the types of scales which they used in Bezman Chazal was called a Pales. So Pales means to measure. Raglecha is where you're walking, your feet. Magal is a circle. So you have to measure the circle of your feet. It's a pasuk in Mishlei, right? So what is this measuring that we're doing? What exactly are we doing? So Rabbi Yosef is coming to address a Chazal that called the person mavatul minatar shalot tzarich raising his chayv benavsha. A person who is mavatul Torah, which is not necessary, he's chayv misa v'day shemai. He says kaval nevel. That's pretty heavy, right? And so he goes through the first part of the shmuz. He goes through the importance of how significant bittul Torah is, and how the whole world is based on the Torah, etc. We understand. He says, but basically we're all cooked. Right? So he says, but let's get those words. Shalom the tzarech. What's called the tzarech? How do you define tzarech? So we're coming into the shmuz at this point. The truth is the tzarech is not clearly defined. There's different levels. Main Zosamarish also is a rakadekium and afshar. It doesn't mean you just have to eat the bare minimum and take from the world just the bare minimum. Everything else is called shalom tzarech. If I theoretically could live on, right, if I only ate bread and water, right, and I lived in a hut, right, so I could work a lot less. You know, for that, I don't have to work so much. You know, so I could learn a lot more. So that's shalom tzarech, right? That's not true. You don't need inyan litzarech. The definition of litzarech: matim lechol adam lefi madrigosim tchunasim. Each person, according to where he's holding and his stature, his spiritual stature, and his nature, that's what's called tzarech. Ki kol ma shenitzach lo adam leman yamad al maskunas nafsher. Whatever I need to be able to function well and bring out my personality and function with what the abilities and the nature and the talents of Hashem gave me, that's called tzarech. Keshiva matzav shel rotzon v'simcha. I have to be able to be happy. Shirak oz orim kishra sanusav. When a person is in a state of feeling content, right? Simcha means content. It doesn't mean like, you know, I'm jumping out of my skin. It means that Elsie the cow, she's content, right? That's simcha. Right? Then all of my abilities are able to come to the fore. So whatever I need to shine as the person that I am, that's called my tzarech. So one person needs, if he doesn't have downtime every day where he can relax, he can't. He's not going to be able to really be functioning at full. And a person needs it. This person, if he doesn't have some food that he finds tasty, you do it one day, you know, fine. You do it 2 days, okay. You do it week after week, the guy's going to start feeling depressed. So he's depressed. He's not the person he's supposed to be. Right? For most people, that means you're going to have to think more than the bare minimum. They need to have things which are pleasurable, the tiyul, to go for walks, the chavis b'riyadim, spending time with people, enjoy the nature, v'kadoim. V'achrei shenochaz l'kol zeh, once it's necessary, imibur v'nafshel, leave first mehanol, say, leave it aside, you know what, I'm going to stop doing these things. Harezek b'chal atit tzadik harbe, lomati shomeim, don't be such a big tzadik, you're going to end up becoming desolate. You can't jump in one shot. Far from where you are. He calls it, you're talking, it won't work. Fine. There were individuals, unique individuals. They were able to feel the pleasure of Torah to touch such an extent. They were able to get to the point that they had such oinig from learning Torah that they didn't need anything else. That was their oinig. The doctor said about Rukiv Eger that he was a treifa, and there's no way he should be able to live. Well, how do they live? So they said, he had such a geschmack and learning, and Pasha kept him alive. Because so Rekim Eger didn't need, you know, you put in front of Rekim Eger a steak, he had a steak. You put in front of bread, he ate bread. You put in front of a carpet, he ate carpet. I mean, like, you know, like, he wasn't an issue by him, you know. That's what gave them the sipuk ha-nefesh, that they felt happy and they felt functional. And they ate very minimally. The Vilna Goyen ate, he ate black bread and tea. And that was the only thing that he ate. That was his meal every day. He had a measured out amount of tea and he had a piece of black bread. There's a story with the Vilna Goyen that at one point in his life, the Vilna Goyen, the children of the Vilna Goyen, when they published the Goyen's beer on Shulchan Aruch, in Shulchan Aruch Archaim, they put an introduction. They say the following story. Picture who the Vilna Goyen was. The Vilna Goyen says, whatever Chazal said is a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv to the point of, till the point it's pasha endangering your life. So the Chazal said, Chazal said, the Chazal said, you have to do something. You have to listen to him. You can't say no. Unless he tells you to leave. That's a good word. That means that's what you have to do. So they brought the following story. The Vilna Goyen, at one point in his life, it happened actually, I think, twice. He went to what's called Golas. The people, for purpose of Kippurah, or for, they felt it would remove their midas roles, etc. They would travel incognito around the countryside to city. And they came and they looked like these tramps. Impoverished people, and they were treated like dirt. And there was they did that as a way to maintain their sanity that I'm not such a chashev person. So when the guard comes to this house, and somebody invites him in and puts down a meal in front of him, and he puts down like normal food. His stomach couldn't handle normal food. So the story, they bring the story, this is the story that happened, that he ate, the person put the food in and stepped out of the room. He ate. As soon as it went into the stomach, it came out again. It didn't look like it was eaten. He hadn't chewed it, because he didn't tell me to chew. So he didn't get any hand off. See, the food went in, it came out looking exactly like he hadn't eaten. So Balabais comes back in. He had to eat something. He said, eat. Because I'll say, Balabais says, you got to eat. So he ate it again. And he kept getting sicker and sicker. Each time his body did that, he got sicker and sicker. And he kept doing it. And that was, they bring, the Vilna Pasha couldn't eat food. He ate every single day, you know, for I don't know from what age, he ate a piece of bread. Because and a cup of tea, right? Good. Was he unhappy? No, he was the happiest person in the world, right? So for him, that was fine. Mishlo Igia LeMadrega Rama Kazu, but for all of us plebeians, right? We ain't there. Loi Yesh Sarach Avot Hanugim Gashmim. I need to have pleasurable things. Amarim Boy is this Kachosavu Kishvanasu, which that allows me to feel happy and allows me to expand, feel expansive and accomplishing, and go use my abilities and my talents. Hamarchivim as daita, and Chazal say that there's three things which are mark of daita. They push and expand you. Isha no, a person has a nice wife. Bias no. Chazal said that these things help you feel expansive and accomplish. When it's bimos arusin, they can make you happy. If he refuses himself from them, yatzulachaim, he's lacking in his life. Lotila shleimas adam, he's not a full person. It comes out, you refraining, you're taking away from your Avodas Hashem.
What was the third? You gave two?
I don't remember the third. Okay. Therefore, a person who, the Barsha wants you, that the Barsha wants the person, the servant, to be an Adam HaSholem, a full person with all of his karkas available. Therefore, Chazal said, for example, that's why Nosir is called a Choyte. Because he's limiting what he's taking in. Each person's Lasarach is different. So he says, okay, so if I would want to picture it, I would picture it. Them, the area which they need, what the circle that they need to live in, is a very small circle. They have very minimal needs. Somebody else has a larger circle. So now we understand the mago, referring to. The circle, referring to the circle of the tzarech, a person's needs to be able to function and be the person that he's supposed to be. He says to you, okay, Avol, next paragraph, Yizor levli harbis l'kachas minyan yizor riyosu mikfir darashlam, you can't take more than you need. If I need, every day, let's say his example of, I need to take a walk for half an hour to push the air out, enjoy the nature, and I'm energized that I can come back and accomplish more. So I can't take 2 hour walks. I don't need 2 hour walks. Right, I need an hour. I need a half an hour walk. Kizel kvar mechal mevatel satar shalav letzarech. That's called shalav letzarech. Shuka kai for bemuna amitis. The more I said that's called. That means what you're really saying is you don't understand the value of tara. That's kfira. What you're doing is saying, you know what? I know, yeah, I don't really need to do this, but I'm doing it anyway instead of doing why the Russian put me in this world. So be a son, or you're not recognizing the whole purpose of the whole world. That's a problem. I have a right to have my own needs to do whatever I want. That's why he's chayv misa. Yeah, I'm being very nice to you, and I'm giving you a lot of leeway. But the other side, I'm telling you that Chepinish, you know, that we're dealing with something very common. Now, next page. Omno. Now, so that sounds great. Gamarach HaShibirnachal, and now we still have, we're not any smarter than we were before. Kedan Yikshav Darkenomoy. Kimiyu Asher Yochel Lechavin Al Nochon Majigosu. How do we know exactly how much I need? Okay, I'm going to figure out. I need 32 minutes and 27 seconds. I mean, how? How are you supposed to figure that out? The mandas, magal darka. How do you measure your circle? Mi uzash, yukhal, lishka, mapela, sikhla, kapula, dibra, makshaba. I'm going to measure everything I do. I need, you know, it's important for me to have interaction with people and have conversations and just to schmooze. I need that. Otherwise, I'm not going to be, I become depressed. How much conversation do I need per day? How do you figure that out? How do I know? So maybe what's pushing me to say, I need an hour and a half a day of conversation. Maybe you really need an hour, but the Yetzer wants you to have an hour and a half. I don't know. I need that second piece of cake. Without a push, I'm not happy. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Okay. The next paragraph. The truth is, I not only have made it better, I made it worse. You know, it's very easy. Eat bread and drink tea. So I know what to do, right? You know, that you can do. You know, you're going to eat. And you're going to have a nice food, but not too much. That's much harder. It's much easier to fast than it is to control how much you eat. He's always going to measure. The fellow says, "Call myself." So the lots of behem magola lalachol upon him. Yosim can be a tzarich. Haloiza machbid oydeiser es darkeinu b'chaim. Come on, man, nimdo. It's almost impossible. See, every time you make any decision, oh, do I need the shmuz to you right now? Do I need to take an extra bite? You're not going to be able to function. Most of us. Therefore, he says the answer is like this. That's what's called tzarech. You also have to be able to function, not have this tremendous burden of always thinking.
Well, now we
how much you need. That's also part of the tzarech. I need leeway. But needing leeway also means a certain amount is obvious. I mean, I know I do not need the shmuz 3 hours a day to be a happy person. That's the Yetzer. I know that if I spend the whole day not talking to anybody else, and the time is deeper, after a few days, I'm going to be a depressed person. Right? I don't. How much is that in the middle? I don't know. Okay, so fine. So you do what you feel, and that's part of your leeway. But there's a point where, you know, 17 hours a day of schmoozing is not necessary. Right? There's a point where it's obvious to you already, I don't need that much food. I don't need that much vacation. I don't need that much. But I do need. So he's an advocate of recognizing that there are true needs that we have for something beyond the minimum, and that's and we have to recognize that. So we have the Ben Bechai is saying that just the minimum. That's really the goal, because everything else like that it's quite dangerous. It schleps you into the whole other world, etc. And he's saying that not only is that not necessary, it's not a good idea. because the final result will be a negative result. Okay. That being said, so let's see a few things over here. I try to stick basically with the Rishonim, and then there's a piece from some things from the Gra.
The piece that we just read, when was that? That's a Rishon?
No, that's a Rishon Leib.
I was going to say that was much, yeah.
Yeah, that was just like, that's a, I'm looking at him almost more like an introduction to the Sugya.
Okay.
Right? Rishon Leib was Nifter in 1930.
Ah, right.
Ezo Asher Sun Epechalk, Mishnah Novus, Dr. Ben Yad. However, I have enough to support whatever I need. That's basically what I said. Why do I need more money? I just need enough to be able to take care of my needs and do the mitzvah that I have to do. And I'm happy. Only who? If an usher is Sameh Bechalka, means the person not Sameh Bechalka, it's an oni. Kabashim of Fursha Pasuk, call me oni royim. So, an oni, his whole life is always bad, and a toiv leiv is mishnah tamid. Now, what would you, if the first half of the pasuk is an oni, so the second half of the pasuk should be an osher, right? The contrast, it says the contrast is an oni versus a toiv leiv, a person who has a good heart. Like what's the ratzalimer? Kol yemei oni hamisav lamomen. Person who always wants money is royim. Why? Kiyoyev kesel is because the pasuk says, the more you want money, the more you're not going to be happy with it. Right? One of the other ones said, it says, you know, the chazal say, if you have 100, you want 200. You have 200, you want 400. So it says, I'm much richer than the biggest gevir. Because I only have 100, so I want 200. That poor guy, he has a billion, and he wants 2 million. Right? So he has a lot less than me. Right? The person always wants more. He's pushing the more you get, the more you want. Rabbi Blech, in that article about the advertising, he quotes something. I don't remember the name of the thing even. Apparently, there was like some type of a show where there was this like happy worker underling who was like very happy with his life and he wasn't very rich, etc. And there was the boss who was like crazy, crazy rich, etc. And one day they're having a conversation, and the worker says to the boss, I have something you don't have. He says, what? He says, I have enough. I'm happy with what I have. You never have enough. So Aktoiv Leiv, the Sameach Bechalka, a person who's a happy person, he's enjoying what he has, Kol Yom Aktoiv Him. Kimisha Oye says, Mishnah Tomei, he's always happy, just like a person who was having a party. That's calling me oni roim. It doesn't mean he's financially impoverished. He means his desire makes him an oni. But the person with a tarv leiv, who he feels good about with his situation, he's always happy. He might be in much less money, but he's a much happier person. Okay, so that's the point the Radio Owner says. So the kuda of developing a non-goal of having greater, more, 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 that's a very significant point because the result is you're much happier. Okay.
So I guess now the vital of us, Asher Kvolma Zeva Tov Lach Kvolma Ba, I mean, is that...
So he says, if you look at the rest of the piece, he says, so he says, where are you proving that Sameach Bechalka is a Nikra Asher? He says, Sameach Bechalka is a Nikra Asher. I can't prove that from the Pasuk. What I can prove it like this. I don't give me any presents. I'm very happy to work. Whatever I get, that's it. That means I'm not seeking out more than I have. That person, so that person is a shrecha, right? So you see that's defined. I just want, I'm a worker. I'm not this major businessman. I don't major accomplishments. I don't want any, the chazal say means the person doesn't want matanas. Don't mean any favors. I'm happy to work, produce what I have, and that's it. So that's the beginning from the pasuk. And that person is, okay. Then the next piece is a Chavis Lavavis. Chavis Lavavis, just pointing out, his name was also Rabbeinu Bechai, Bechai ben Bekuda. He lived about 250 years before the other Rabbeinu Bechai we spoke. He actually lived before Rashi. Rabbeinu Bechai, Chavis Lavavis was before Rashi. It's the first Moshe Sefer that we have. You know, besides Vim, Chazal, like the first Sefer written for the purpose of Chavis Lavavis is Chavis Lavavis. Okay, so we're coming in the middle of a piece over here. The point, he says, that there are different actions a person does in this world. Some actions which are clearly defined as mitzvahs, some actions which are clearly defined as averus, and there's actions which are mutter. They're not a mitzvah, they're not an averus. A pulus shemutal adam lasoisin, vehainen lo begat a mitzvah, lo begat a averu, mischalakas the shloshot chalakim. So I can take these actions which are not mitzvah, they're not averu, they're rishus, and divide them into three sections. Hachiyuni, what's necessary to live. Hamayuta, which is luxuries, what's beyond, what's not necessary to live. Hapachas mechiyuni, a person doing actions where he's living under his needs. Okay, begeder chiyuni. Hey, why is some of the barmshein adam yochel iskayim? But the day of the tzarach shem is kufa. If it's tzarach sinyanov, can achila b'shtiya habasha dira. Okay, so the basic needs that a person has, the dabra is a tzarach lo the shem sidra asaka. He has to converse with people to take care of his arrangements. Puloisa miskaray is for his business and his actions and his business. The shamash b'chol mina tenusa. He has everything he does. Takes out of them the proper amount that he needs, which allow him to maintain himself. He calculates what he's doing. He does it in an intelligent way. Okay, that's called chiyuni. They're beyond the necessary. They're beyond your basic needs. You don't really need them. Don't guzzle wine. Don't overeat bread, meat. You're worrying about how fancy your clothes are. A fancier, larger house. I have 17 kids. I need a large house. You know, I have one kid and one and a half kids, 1.3 kids. So why do I need such a big house? I talk too much. Actually, initially, I'm going to talk too much. You're always going to say something wrong. He says, "If you talk too much, there's no way you're not going to say something wrong." In regards to interacting with women, you know, etc., those type of things. So all those things, a person does that too much, the Torah, the melech to limit, etc., that's called mutaris. Next paragraph. A person's living under his needs. He's not giving himself his basic needs. Okay, but stop because you say Rizu. This method, he's living with in a minimal way beyond what's necessary. There's two reasons why that might happen. Now, I'm willing to starve myself, etc. Because we need to focus on building my business to become really rich. So I'm not giving myself my needs, the time I need to sleep, the time I need to eat, the time I need to whatever, because I'm busy creating this chalom for myself, this dream for myself. So he says like this, Oza, you stop because you're Sarah, Hanavas, Mitech, Hasidus, Kesh, Niskar, Wal, Yoda, Lashem, Aydashiras, Tavaisav, Himashubachos. I feel that I have too much taiva, so I want to go to, like Rama says, the other extreme, to sort of break that focus on Olam Hazeh by limiting my intake. That's a good idea. That's considered praiseworthy. I'm a stingy. I want more money. Not only that, you know, I want COVID. I'm such a tzaddik. Look at that. So that's my goal. So that's my goal. He's stealing from his body the body's needs. Because he loves this world. It's basically trying to put a fire with straw. Doesn't work. Okay. So, so let's go to the next paragraph. So now, even the things which are quote unquote mutter, the truth is, hey, obigeter mitzvah, obigeter avera, obigeter chiyuni. Either they're proper, they're improper, or they're necessary. Anything which is above and beyond what is necessary, whether I'm going too much to get luxuries or I'm limiting too much what I'm getting. It's either going to be something which is a mitzvah to do or a veira to do. So his final goal is, and which is chiyuni, that's my chiyuv, to take care of my body. So all there are mitzvahs and veiras. That's what he wants to accomplish. There's no action when this world which is a rishos. Either you're doing something positive to your action, or you're doing something negative to your action. That's the final result of this conversation. Which is like, wow, okay. Just see that line on the next page. Everything, no exceptions. Okay, so I'm taking care of my body. That's a mitzvah. I'm taking care of my needs. That's a mitzvah. I'm going beyond my needs. It's not a mitzvah. It's wrong. So there's no real rishus in this world. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah's side. That's a little bit heavy. Okay. Now that you're ready for that, let's see some things on the Gra. The Gra is some of it. It's see his look. Now this sefer is Eben Shlomo. Eben Shlomo was not written by the Gra. Eben Shlomo was written by a Talmud of the Gra, and he took pieces. He collated pieces and ideas from the Gra and everything that he wrote, and put it together in this form of, like, there was ideas which he spoke of in multiple places, and he put it together and made a coherent presentation of different ideas. So you notice in each piece that he writes, he has the sources for it, where the Gra speaks about it. So just give an example. You look at the first page, it says that this paragraph is based on what the Gra wrote in Mishlei Paraches Yud Gimel, Perak Aleph Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perak Beis Pasuk Yud Beis, Perak Dalet Chof. It gives you a list of all the places where he spoke about that. And I didn't put it in the next page because there's two more pages, etc. So he's not writing on his own. And you go back to the sources; he was very true to the sources, the actual quotes from the Gra. But the language itself is many times is his own presentation. Now he was a Talmud of the Gra; he wasn't a pushover. Like, you know, you didn't join the go to the Gra Shir if you were like learning Alibes, you know. Okay. Kalaminas arose heim kas type of a gaiva. Shem kino type of a covet. The Mishnah refers to kino type of a covet that we find other places refer to as kas, taiva, and gaiva. So taiva is pretty clear, taiva and taiva. We understand gaiva and covet. And kino, he's tying into the word kas. Okay, we're not going to focus too much on that. Each one of these three things, kas, taiva, and gaiva, has two expressions of it. Haino bakas, there's ra and mirma. What is ra and mirma? Ra hu biskalus, the person who expresses his anger. Mirma hu echad bepev echad belev. Inside, I dislike you, I hate you, but I present myself nicely to you. But taiva, there's two things, taiva and chemda. There's something called taiva and something called chemda. So what's the difference between taiva and chemda? They're both translated as desires. Taiva hu hanos haguf mamish. Those are direct physical pleasures. Kan achila v'shtiyah v'kadayim. V'chemda kan kesev v'zov v'gadayim v'batim. that's not directly on the body, I etc. I desire something beyond myself. Okay, then he goes to discuss. He says, "We the paragraph of the kind of sore, the shalosh shemir ros esamid de remimah. That's rad mirimah. The kanashi sido can I get gaivo? Sachli b'besor secha is the opposite of taivo. Put my interest on taro, and b'tzecha tuda of nafshi goes against chemdas. Okay, now next page. Mishinim shachachar a taivo, person who indulges his taivo." He undermines even his good midas, which he his natural good midas. Chemda undermines the midas which you've acquired in your lifetime. So why is that? These things make the person so busy trying to get fulfill his desires, he has no time to maintain his process of being aware of what he's doing. And eventually you're going to end up doing things wrong once, twice, again and again and again, and it starts becoming your nature. Obviously he's not going to work on new issues which he needs to address. You know what? I'll indulge myself a little bit, and then I'll stop. Once you start, you get stuck in it. It's very difficult to disengage once you've connected. It's possible to lose everything you've accomplished in your year of Torah mitzvahs by allowing yourself to become drawn into the world of taiva. Okay. Skip down to Yud Aleph. So first he says, listen, I should keep you from the learning. Of course you should learn. But you know, you also want to, you know, make a position for yourself in this world. You know, what do you think? I'm a person that doesn't learn? Of course I learn. You know, but once you get involved in enjoying yourself, you're not going to learn. That eventually pulls you away from your learning. You know, you have no choice. You're used to this already. You can't live without this. Then he just stops, you know, gets used to not going. You know, there's nothing, right? The person who is allowed to, I enjoy relaxing. I need to relax. I need to relax. How do I relax? I watch something on the TV. Even though there's no show on tonight, I still don't go to learn. Right? Because I get used to that. I'm not interested in the whole thing. The whole thing falls apart for me. Even if I can do it easily without any problems, not interested. Okay, now, you see like this. The Taibe and the Royal Lenakaka Rao Cloud. I will have the Sopranos of a moment. And also the Gamri. Wanting to support yourself is a good thing. You have to work. Rakshi ben Munna has to be honest. Don't touch anything else. Now the problem, like the Tells the Rob said, engaging and limiting is much harder than not engaging at all. Right? So that's the challenge. So this is the Perek Beis. Comes the Gaon of Perek Gimel and takes it to the next level. Okay. So we spoke about. He says, "Bitochem hehistapkus heima klolam mechomidus taipus." He sees that the hehistapkus vehemepachatayim vechemda, that hehistapkus is basically a partner with bitochem. So we spoke about this. We saw this growth with the bitochem element in the sukkah by John in the sukkah. He talked about the ki ikar kolo bitochem and mishum chosu bitochem and tzurasam is kamen biyada. So bitochem is, but the way I explained bitochem then, right? Bitochem doesn't mean, you know, it'll work out good. Bitachon means feeling secure, feeling safe. Which means that if I know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was there, and I feel his presence, and I'm aware of his presence, and I live with that, and it's a reality to me, so then I'm not worried. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is real. So there's nothing in this world which really can do anything to me which is not good for me. Because Baruch Hu only wants what's good for me. So I'm in a state of menuchas and nefesh. The Chavos Avavos in Shara Bitachon, starts off with, let's define terms. Bitachon means menuchas and nefesh. I'm totally relaxed. Whatever worked out, I'm not scared whatever worked out, because Baruch Hashem is, I'm in good hands with the Kodesh Baruch, right? You know, State Farm?
All State,
right? Right? I'm in good hands with the Kodesh Baruch. I'm in Baruch Hashem's hands, like, what's the problem? Right? Okay. Now, Kolaveris HaKatoim Boi Mechemda. All of the Averis in the Torah, all, they're rooted in Chemda. K'mashom Rekikol Loisach Medkala Kol Adibris V'Kol HaTorah. But he stopped because Shua Hippo, who you said, Kolotar Kula, means the idea of not focusing on desire and just feeling you have enough and living with that is the foundation of the whole Torah. Okay? Who Munashtam shall lead the Dagas Mocher? Then he goes to the next piece. I didn't put the next two pages in. I did put the next page in. Even though he does many mitzvahs and Torah, etc. So that's why Bias Rishon, he says, they had bitachon on Kodesh Baruch Hu. Bias Shem did not have bitachon. So Bias Rishon, the more it says, they had a Zorah and get Rashi Chuz Damim. And they got the Mitzvah. They were only gold 70 years. And they got the Mitzvah Mitzvah back. Bias Sheni, they had Kina and Sina, those type of things. And we're still waiting. But the more said they had Torah and Gemilas Chassadim, they mamash did mitzvahs. By Shri, they did all these Averas, and they got the Mitzvah Mitzvah back. By Shana, they seemed to be big tzaddikim, and we're waiting, because the inside wasn't healthy. Okay? So that deserves a much longer conversation, but I'm not going to do it. Some point in time, it's been worthwhile to do that piece. But, I'm not going to do this next page. Next piece is a fascinating thing. Page Mem Zion. So, the Gaon talks about this concept of Gilgal. Mishor HaRosh B'Gilgal Rishon. Person was a Rosh in a previous existence. Merida Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Chesen HaLevona. Rosh hasn't born. In other words, Mazel affects the person. But why were you born in that Mazel? There's a reason why you're born in that Mazel. This person will never be able to be successful in making money. He'll always be lacking. Even though he's mamash at Sadi Gomer right now. But he's expiating his sins from a previous existence. That's why you have a Sadi Gomer. That's a Zohar. So it's not fair. It is very fair. Right, I the man's such a big tzaddik. Why does he deserve this? Because he's addressing a previous issue. Now, so this poor fellow, he tries this business and it fails, and that thing and it fails, and he tries this job and he does that, and he's never successful. And the guy next to him has golden hands, you know, buys one house. Next thing you know, he has 15 houses. He's flipping. He has a million houses. The guy's flipping it. The guy's a multi-billionaire, and I'm just as smart as him, just as nice as him, everything like that. And by me, I bought the wrong house, and it's sitting there, and I lost all my money. I went bankrupt. Right? Right? So that guy thinks he's better than me. He's not better than me, but I'm jealous. So he says, so what's the Eitzah? Try harder, do more. Get involved and do. No, listen. I tried many times, it didn't work. I might as well sit and learn already, you know. And because I'll say, one moment of Olam Haba is much greater than all Chayilim Hazeh. So, Yeshua Lamar, Kamar Mar Chazal, Kalahanam Yigib Kapa, Yasmin Yerushimayim, you gotta work. Chazal said you had to do business. See, keeps trying. So what happens? Because that's his mazel, it's never going to change. So what happened? Learning how he doesn't have. Money he doesn't have. Great. So the Yetzirah is laughing all the way to the bank, right?
Right.
So that's a fascinating concept. You know, you see certain people, you know, so our nature is to think, you know, they're low yutzlochs, and I'm better than them. I'm not better than them. It's good to live, connect yourself with the people who live with low lifestyle, with lower lifestyles. You learn to be to appreciate what you have and be happy and not want more. You live with Ashirim and you spend time with Ashirim. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to make it to the end. Okay? So, training yourself to be happy with what you have and living, right? I know somebody. He and a group of his friends started out Neighborhood X. You know, Neighborhood X was a good starter neighborhood. And a lot of his friends did very well, and eventually they moved out to more expensive neighborhoods and fancier houses, etc. And he said, "You know, I'm happy here. Like, why didn't a large? Like, didn't see any need for it. You know, he made his house look a little bit nicer. You know, etc. But like, he still lives in the old neighborhood. And, I think at the end of the day, he's a much happier person. Terrible though, the Shikabitz Rock Moment, yes, it's stalker. You know, it's better to not have a large income. Yes, it's stalker. Shows you see they have a stalker bakal. Because I'll say, if you're not Makayim and Yechiyim stalker, you are in big trouble. So if you don't have too much money, so it's not hard to make Makayim and Yechiyim stalker. Vavsher, who is Yerzi Yerzi Royal, maybe giving him more than you necessary. But Mimash Yilo Harbe, well, Yitan Kamishpota, it's Sark, Litan Gavirka. But if you have a lot of money, fulfilling your obligation in stalker is going to be very, very difficult. So there's a famous mice with Rousseau Salanter. And, you know, I'll tell you two mice about the lottery, which, you know, just to see, like, you know, how these people thought. So Rousseau Salanter's wife bought a lottery ticket. So Rousseau Salanter immediately, when he heard about it, got two bachrim, two of his talmidim, as Aiden. And he said the following formula. I have no wireless anymore rights. I read everything but my iPhone. So they asked him, Rabbi Weiss, let's say she wins the lottery. So I have all this money. So I have a chiv stalker. And now the chiv stalker, you have a chiv stalker, you have to also give out, you can't give it to people don't deserve it, because you're wasting stalker money. You're a gabbai. Right? So I have to go, each person, I have to check them out and find out what the reality is. I have to go search out the people who are poor in other part of the city because I have a key to make sure I have everybody in the city. I have no time to do anything. I've done the whole life. Maybe I won't be able to get enough stock. What are you here for? Like, why would I want such a thing? So I said, you know what? It's not mine. I have no mitzvah in it. That was his reaction.
What is a mitzvah to give tzedakah?
I understand. But you know, it's quite a challenge to make sure that you're doing it properly. So, Colson, I'm not in that situation. I'd rather not be in that situation. Okay, number one. Number two, they asked for Dovah Krunglas at Sal, who's the Mashkiach in Ne Yisrael. And he was from Shanghai, from the Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai, and eventually he became the Mashkiach in Ne Yisrael after the war.
In the kitchen, as you said?
Right, exactly. So one time they asked Rabbi David, what would he do if he won the lottery? So he says, very simple. He says, I work here in Yeshiva. And I have a class to take care of the bachrim. And I'm not sure, you know, I don't know exactly. It's very hard to delineate what my job is, exactly how much is I fulfilled my obligation. So I'm always worried that all the money I've received in the yeshiva is gazel. So I would calculate every penny that I received from the yeshiva in all the years I've worked with them and give it back to the yeshiva. So I'm not a gazel. That was his response. All right. See, I mean, he was constantly living with am I fulfilling my obligation to somebody else? That was his thought process. Right, and from that vantage point, he said, "I'm scared." So Baruch Hashem, if the Russian would at one point in my life give me, I would take off that burden off my head. That was like that's the only thing he could see. He could figure picture like you know doing the lottery. He said, "What else? I don't know. You know."
Maybe the lottery would cover his salary. But...
What? Maybe I don't know. Yeah. Now, one last point. A person who's a pazran, he spends money too easily. He throws his money out. He's a spendthrift. It's not the greatest idea. But the problem is stinginess for Yosser who achlam achsalon. That's never good. There's no way to figure out stinginess being good. Hasrana, span, being a spendthrift, might end up being good sometimes. You're not really taking, respecting the what the Russian gave you. But on the other hand, sometimes by doing that, you could help people in a significant way. So, fine. That takes us back to the beginning. That was a quick run through of everything over here. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is there's no simple answer because, we have many chazals who tell you the importance of earning Shabbos and a person who there's Yerushalmi which says that the Bershon will ask you in Din and Shemayim, why didn't you eat every different type of food that's available to eat? So there's, you go to the Korean market and they have these fruits that you never saw before in your life. The person's like, why didn't you eat a hoji? It's a good question. I don't know, Right? Shem Hirsch said that he visited the Alps once. He said, I don't want to come to Shemayim. That the Bershon said to me, he says, Shamshi, did you go visit my Alps that I made for you? I made up Alps, beautiful Alps that you should see. Did you visit my Alps? So he went to visit the Alps once. Right? That's the one hand. Then we have this, the kuna, that these things draw you away from your focus and about Hashem and being aware of Kodesh Baruch Hu and doing what you have to do. They're very distracting. Any person who thinks they're not distracting is fooling himself. They're very distracting. Yes, if we would be able to turn it around and say, every time I make a dollar, every time I get a pleasure, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving it to me, it could be a tremendous boost to my Emunah in Kodesh Baruch Hu. But that's not how the Yetzer Hara works. It becomes very distracting. So it's not intrinsically bad. The Yishan was saying that you eat that fruit and you feel the Kodesh Baruch Hu's the beauty and the that he put in the world, Arab. But the reality is most of us eat the fruit, we just ate the fruit. Right? That's not the Yishalmi. That wasn't the point of the Yishalmi. Make sure you eat every fruit in the world. My bucket list. Right? I want to go to South America, to the jungles, over there, because I have to make sure I eat all the fruits in the world. No, that's not the version. But if for me, that would be my hechadim to expand my akara of Kodesh Baruch Hu and create, fulfill my emotional needs, that would be a very positive thing. Okay.